church growth. When we speak of church growth, we speak of the church. But who is the church? We are the church. You and I, we are the church. Church growth depends on us. We have a church. We reach out to people with the news of Jesus Christ. I am convinced that as long as we recognize our alternate purpose, we need to reach to those who have not known him. In the second chapter of Acts, the church in Jerusalem began on the day of Pentecost with 3,000 members. And then when we read the fourth chapter, it had grown to 5,000, counting men, women, and children. The Bible tells us the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were saved. It was a growing church. They had concern. How do we care for Christians in our midst? You know, one of the most exciting things is when a baby is born, the parents rejoice and say, "Oh, what a beautiful baby." They take the baby home and they change diapers, they lose sleep, they figure out what's wrong with a crying child. The joy of a new birth is followed by the responsibility of caring and raising that child. It's the same way in the church. People come to the church and we rejoice. But then comes the responsibility of caring for those who are here. Who's going to teach them? Who's going to pray with them? Who's going to encourage them? You see, the early church did a very good job. They were continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and the fellowship in the baking of bread. You see, a second part of our work, our purpose in the church, is to nurture, to build up fellow Christians. Paul says in Ephesians 11:16 that we read, it was he who gave apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some teachers, some pastors, so the body of Christ may build up. So that we no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all things grow up into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. This is an important passage. For you have noticed that some of the key words were service, unity, mature, building each other up. So let's talk about how we can build each other up. How we can have a church growth. How we can grow with each and every one. Last week we preached on how we were chosen by God. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are sealed in the Holy Spirit. Why do we need a growth? We need a growth because that we are become less vulnerable to temptation. Just as Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness following his baptism, so likewise we will be attacked as well. Jesus told a parable about wheat and weeds. He said a farmer went out and sowed good seed. But that night the evil one came and sowed weed among the seeds. And they all started to grow. At first you couldn't tell the difference. But soon it became clear that the weeds were growing among the wheat. So the servant said, "Let us pull up the weeds." But the master said, "No, no. If we do that, we'll kill the wheat as well. Let them grow side by side until the harvest. Then we will separate the wheat from the weeds." You see, this parable has a very important truth. Until the harvest comes, until Jesus comes, good and evil will be growing side by side in this world. And it's true. We live in a world where there is so much evil and confliction. No one questions that. There was once a professor in a class. And the professor said, "Did God create everything?" And the people said, "Yes." "So God created evil, so God is evil." No one questions the professor. And the professor repeated this again at every class. Until one day, one pupil at the back of the class put up his hand. And the professor got shocked here. And the pupil said, "Professor, is there darkness?" The professor said, "Sure, you know, well, there's darkness in the night." And the pupil said, "Professor, there is no darkness. You can't measure darkness. Darkness happens when there is no light." "Professor, is there cold?" Professor said, "Sure, there's cold. Winter, do you see cold?" "Professor, there's no cold. Cold is a fixed point. Cold happens when there's no heat. You can measure heat." "Professor, is there any evil?" "Of course there's evil. You see all the evil all over." "Professor, evil does not exist in itself. It doesn't happen in itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. God does not create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when there is no God, when God's love does not exist in your heart. Just as cold comes when there is no heat, so darkness when there is no light." Class dismissed. Who was this pupil? Albert Einstein. E=mc². Yes, if we as Christians are going to grow, the seed must grow healthy and grow. If not, the weeds will choke it up. It's important that we grow as Christians. For Christians who are growing are full of joy. If you are grumbling and complaining, you are not joyful in the Lord. It's probably a strong indication that you're not growing in the Lord. On the other hand, growing Christians are excited what God is doing. You know what He is coming. You are excited what He is going to do to the church. You are excited about what He is going to do in your life, in your home. Because growing Christians are joyful Christians. It is important also that as Christians, we are willing Christians, willing to help in the church, to be an usher, to be welcoming, to help in the kitchen. And when the offering plate comes, they contribute, not because their arms are twisted, they give it because they love God, they are growing in their faith. They live with a happy feeling because they are part of the most important work. We grow also because of a time of crisis, whether it be financial conflict, family conflict, financial problems, the cost of living. How deep is your faith? In the parable of the sower, Jesus said, some seed fell in shallow soil, and the seed gave way every sign of life. But when the trouble and worries come, it soon had no roots and withered and died. So growth, why growth happens, it's important because of evil. Because growing Christians have joy, and growing Christians are willing to help. And growing Christians withstand crisis that happens. Maybe the doctor that tells you that you have a terminal illness. Maybe something is happening within the family. So is your faith deep enough that you can grow through all this? We must need to have a deep and growing faith so that we can withstand the problems in life. It's important we continue as growing Christians. How do we overcome? How do we grow as Christians? Firstly, we grow by studying God's Word. If you have been a Christian for 5, 10 years, 20 years, and all you know is the Bible is John 3:16, God so loved the world, then you're still a spiritual baby drinking milk. You see, the early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They didn't have a Bible like we have, 66 books, 36 Old Testament, 27 the New Testament. They listened to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You can listen, they had no Bible. You can think of the apostles like the two persons who went to Emmaus. They saw Jesus speaking to them. They came back and told them. They heard Thomas telling about doubting Jesus, and Jesus appeared and said, touch my wounds. They heard about Peter went fishing, and Jesus, for 40 days after the resurrection, he was on earth. He appeared to 500 people. And when they went fishing, and they saw they caught so much fish during the daytime, and they said, oh, that's Jesus. And Peter jumped into the sea and went there, and Jesus had set a fire and said, bring the fish, let's eat. Yes, they devoted themselves to the scripture. This is the living word of God. This is the word of God that helps us. We grow. Second, we grow when we have close fellowship with other Christians. The Bible says we have to love one another. We have to pray for one another. We have to bear each other's burdens. We have to extend hospitality. We forgive one another. There's a whole list of things. You see, Christian fellowship is very important. There are many opportunities for Christian fellowship. We come to church, we sit in the pew. How can we be helpful? We can be part of the welcoming, we can be helpful. We can share experiences. For it is said, a problem shared is a problem halved. Yes, there are many opportunities that you can exercise your spiritual gifts. When do we see spiritual growth? What are the evidences of spiritual growth? Sometimes we depend very much on the pastor. He has a lot of work to do, not only just preaching, but he also helps in infant, in every aspect of the church work. There was a story about a man who was sleeping, and his wife came up to him and said, "It's time to get up." And he said, I need to sleep for one more hour. And the wife said to him, "Hey, this is Sunday, you're the pastor of the church." In the same way, the church is going to grow. There are many other ministries that support the pastor. There was an instance of a very famous pastor, and when he preached, hundreds came to hear him every Sunday. He had an associate pastor who was also scheduled to preach, but when they announced that the associate pastor was going to preach, a number of people got up and walked out. It was an embarrassment to the associate pastor. So one Sunday morning, when the associate pastor was about to preach, he said, "For those of you who have come to worship the pastor, you may leave. But those of you who have come to worship the Lord, please open your Bible and let's read and study the Bible together." You see, you receive the Word of God not because of any person. You come to worship God. This is an important lesson to learn. When we mature, we worship the Lord, regardless of who the pastor is, because we are building our faith not on the pastor. We are building our faith on Jesus Christ. The pastor is the shepherd. He guides us. Another way is you have to be a regular attender. I know that's very elementary, but I can't think too much of it. There was a man who did not attend church for some time. So the pastor went to visit him. And he said, it was winter, and they sat by the side of the fire. It was a coal fire. And suddenly a piece of coal fell off onto the side. And it was bright red, and then it turned into darkness. So the pastor took a thong and picked the coal and put it back into the fireplace. And then it brightened up and turned red. From that on, the church attender caught the meaning and went back to the church and became a very active member in the church. You see, we may attend church because it is convenient, or when the weather is bad, then we stay home. It is not a question of top priority. It's a question of worshiping God. For when you have the fruits of the Spirit in you, when you have the indwelling Spirit in you, in attending church, you will show the growth in you. The growth in you will be shown when you have the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace to God. Long-suffering, goodness, kindness towards one another. Faith, meekness, tolerance within yourself. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And now we come to two verses which are very important in this message which we have read. And let me read them again. You see, in every section of the Bible, in every chapter of the Bible, there's always the key verse. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. For God so loved the world. Those are key verses. And let me read two key verses here in this passage. But verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom whose body may join together and compacted by what which every joint supplies, according to the effective working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul lists out the ways, three ways where we can grow as strong Christians. And every one of them takes place in the context of being involved in the local church. He said, instead of wavering, gullible, deceiving, shipwrecked, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. We will all things grow up into him who is the head of church, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined together in every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and each part does its work. There are three things that we need to hear in here. First of all, our community. God wants us always to link truth with love. Being truthful in love, verse 15, is not just referring to our speaking, but to all forms of our communications, our body language, the ideas we imply, the things we say. Truth and love must be merged together. We must be truthful in love. It's not easy sometimes when there's conflict, but never let your love be untruthful. Keep that balance always, choosing always to be truthful in love. Grow out towards a Christ-like maturity. There was an instance of a person who had a problem with her husband's drinking habits. She wavered constantly between truth and love. It's not very easy to be truthful, yelling at him and being loving. So at times, this poor woman goes into denial and pretends that there was no problem at all. It's her attempt to be loving, but not truthful. So until truth and love comes together, he probably won't be able to hear what she has to say. There was another instance of a man who had a Christian boss. Now he suspects that the Christian boss was not very ethical in his accounts. This bothered him because his boss was also a member of the church council. Instead of talking to him, he kept it all locked up. He waffles between being lenient and patient and trying to protect the boss's reputation. Sometimes between angrily confronts what was wrong You see, he needs to be truthful and loving at the same time. Not easy. But in Matthew chapter 18:15, Jesus urges us to be truthful in love. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. The goal is love and reconciliation in your relationship. It's a path towards to be truthful, upfront, and honest in your love. Another second step is towards maturity, is to have connection, fellowship with other members of the body. Paul speaks in verse 16 that we read, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. He's talking about the church having a relationship with each and every one. It's the joints and ligaments that connect us with other parts of the body. As we rub against each other, we lean against each other. The supporting ligaments is God's word, which hold us together. Those joints that keep all parts of the body are the points which connect with each other. If they don't connect, then they are dislocated. You see, we need connection in our fellowship, as Paul says, of the body of Christ. Thirdly, we reach maturity when we are willing to do our part. Paul describes the body as growing and building itself up in love. As each part of the body uses his spirit to serve the ministry, the result is that the church grows bigger, stronger. Some of us need to make that decision to do our part in the ministry of the church. What is our role? What is our ministry? What else is our service in the church? What is our service in the body of Christ? Maybe you are a jawbone, maybe you are a part of a eyeball, maybe you're part of the body. You're needed. You're needed every time. Every part of the body is needed. So Christ expects us to do our work or service that will strengthen the church. You see, we are valued. When we accept Jesus Christ, we are valued, we are redeemed, we are blessed, we are chosen. So if you are a lover of Christ, if you abide in him, you are valuable in the church. No one can take it away from you. Christ wants us to be part of his body. He made us because we really do count. You might ask, why am I a Christian? How do I fit in? Some people have the funny idea that when they put their tithes in the offering plate, they are paying the staff to do the work of the ministry for them. No, that's not so. Our job as staff is to equip them to do the work of the church. One of the reasons why God has given us here in this church is so that we can become more mature through the process of serving each and everyone. Christ uses his local church to grow us into from baby Christians into baby mature Christians. That's why we are here. We are here because we want to grow up into maturity. So what steps do we take? Maybe you have a love in communication. Maybe we need to have fellowship with one another. Whatever God wants us to do, that is our purpose in the church. Finally, to be effective Christians, you have to be growing in your faith. Certainly, God needs Christians, ministers, leaders, attenders, but we all have to share our faith in the work of the church, wherever you are. The story is told of a king who longed for a son. The years passed, and finally the king answered his prayer, and a baby boy was born. And the whole kingdom rejoiced. He was such a perfect child. Everybody was so happy. Then when he was 6 years old, this little boy fell off a horse and injured to the point of being partly paralyzed. The king and all the kingdom mourned. But the king did a strange thing. He instructed a royal sculptor to make a statue of a man standing straight and strong. And every day they wheeled the boy out to the courtyard where the statue had been erected. And the little boy looked at the statue of that man. The story grows that gradually the boy's spine started to straighten. Strength came back to him, his muscles and bones. And finally the day arrived when that boy stood out in the shadow of the statue. And as the kingdom looked, below and behold, the boy bore the likeness of that statue. He had become what he had been looking at every day. God placed his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at him. Become like him. And the more you look at Jesus Christ, the more you read his word, the more you will be Christ-like. Yes, the purpose of the church, you and me, is to win the lost and build up each and everyone. We don't want anyone lost. We don't want everyone to be away. We want to make sure that everyone is involved in the word, in prayer, and growing every day. There's something that we will allow God to do in our lives when we are growing in faith. When you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can count on him to be with you. Come to him this day and this moment and say, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me your pupil. I make you my Lord and Savior.